Let's pray. Father, we're meeting together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You promised to meet with us. We're meeting in your name. And we pray that you would clearly guide us and our understanding and our hearts and our willingness. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, most of what I teach today, I will not be teaching. What I mean by that, we're going to look at a lot of scripture. I'll make very little comment, but I'll ask some basic questions about each of these texts. One of the questions I will ask you is, what tense is it? What tense is this sentence? Present? Future? Past? Second, is it telling us what to do, or is it telling us something that is? And three, is this sentence true or false? Okay, now if you answer true, then we thank God for the sentence, regardless whether you like it or not, because it's true. Now, some of these things you're going to obviously know already. But when you see the accumulated evidence here, the statement that this first hour is where we are in Jesus Christ. Where we are in Jesus Christ. And each of these will tell us something about where we are. First sentence is John 5:24.
I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life.
Okay. First, what tense is it? The first phrase. First and second phrase. We've just read John 5:24. And there are three phrases. What tense is the first phrase? Now, if I don't get volunteers, I'm going to call on you. I didn't call on you. Okay.
Present tense.
He who hears, that's present tense. Second one, and believes on him and sent me, what tense? He who hears is present tense, and believes, what tense? Don't look at me, look at the text. What? Present. Has everlasting life, what tense? Okay. If you hear, you believe, you have, right now, everlasting life. Okay? The next phrase, and will not come into condemnation. What tense?
Future.
Future. Okay? It's something that's not going to happen in the future. Okay? The third phrase is, what tense? Past present. Okay? He has crossed over from death to life. If you believe now, you believe now, you have now, and will not come into condemnation because you've passed from death to life. Okay. Now, remember, our subject is where we are in Jesus Christ. The next part of this question is this, something we're to do or something that is true? Truth is true, okay? So, now if you've heard and you believe, you have everlasting life. No condemnation. You've passed already, sometime in the past, from death to life. Okay? That's where you are in Jesus Christ. Everlasting life. Not until Monday. I mean, it's everlasting starts when you believe and is everlasting. Okay? The second text is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Okay, anyone, you want to read that? 5:17.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come.
Okay. There's an if there. What's the if mean? It's conditional. Okay. If you met the condition, what's the condition? If you're in Christ, okay? If that's the condition, you're in Christ, what's the result?
You're a new creation.
He's a new creation. And what else is true? Okay. And what else is true?
The old is gone.
The old is gone. All things end. Everything's new. Okay, how much is all things? Okay, all things are new. Just if you're in Christ. The old has passed away. Everything's new. Okay, next verse. 2 130. You know, I'm picking these isolated verses out, but they're not that isolated. We can cover a lot more, but I'll be covering about 20 verses. And the rest of this 6 weeks is largely going to be based upon what we found out today.
You mean 1 Corinthians 1:30?
What did I say?
Second.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 1:30. One mistake a year in red is in bed.
What?
I made my first mistake this year. Okay. 1:30. Okay. Start with 29. Kelly, would you read 29-31?
So that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness. Therefore, as it is written, let him
who boasts. Okay. He said, you are in Christ, Jesus. And then tells us what Jesus Christ has done. What is he in us? Wisdom. Is that right? And where does this wisdom come from? From God. Okay. And wisdom is down defined. Three things. Okay. Righteousness is when we became Christian. That's for justification, when we were justified. Okay. He has become our righteousness. What else has he become? Our holiness. And third, the next one is redemption. Now, redemption is not the same as righteousness. This is the redemption of the body at the last day. So, our justification, our sanctification, and our redemption, just being in Christ. Okay? True or false? Okay? Now, this is so. Now, it's easy for us to get our theology from how we feel. We feel a certain way, and we therefore say that's what's true. Look at the first two verses, or the second verse of 1 Corinthians 1. Keith, would you read that?
It was
1 Corinthians 1. Verse 2.
To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both there and
okay. He speaks to the church of God at Corinth, and then he defines what the church of God is. Who they are? Who are they?
Those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus.
And called to be saints.
Called.
Okay. And sanctified, they've been made holy. Now the word holy, or sanctification, sanctity, is to be set apart. Now God is holy because he's high and lifted up and set apart. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. set him apart high and lifted up. Sanctity means separate from the common, separate from the vulgar, separate from sin. Holy, we'll get to it in the later weeks, but there's a difference between righteousness and holiness. They are both pure. Righteousness is something dirty that's been made clean. When we became righteous, our sins were forgiven. We were washed. Holiness is not getting dirty. Righteousness has been forgiven for your uncleanness, and holiness is touch not the unclean thing. Okay, but he's provided both righteousness and holiness. In Philippians 1, Paul, Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. He doesn't write these letters to all the sinners at Philippi. The word sinners doesn't show up. I want to get this. As you read the first chapter of each of these verses, it says to the saints. It doesn't say to the sinners. So when you want to identify this, identify yourself as a saint. You can call me St. James. And the reason we don't like to do it, because we've taken this Catholic view of saints. Not the biblical view of saints. The biblical view is someone who's been sanctified in Christ Jesus, and that happens when he receives Christ. He's justified and sanctified and guaranteed to have the redemption. We're called to be saints. We're sanctified. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5, 18, 19, and 20. We looked at 2 Corinthians 5, 17. We're just going to look at the next couple verses. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says, if anybody is in Christ, he's a new creature. And now it says,
all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God.
Okay. First thing, he has reconciled us to God. Second thing, he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. When? As soon as we were reconciled. And he's also given us the responsibility of reconciliation. He's given us the message of reconciliation. So all things become new. We've been reconciled to God. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given us the message of reconciliation. And then in verse 20 it says, we are there for what? Ambassadors. Christ's ambassadors. And why? When it says we speaking on whose behalf? Where are the ambassadors? The ambassador of the United States to any country does not get to say his own opinion. Any time he says anything, he's speaking for the President of the United States. He's speaking for the United States. And he said, we're Christ's ambassadors. When we speak on Jesus Christ's behalf. We don't get to speak on our own behalf. We speak in the name of Jesus Christ. We've got the ministry. We've been reconciled. We've got the ministry of it. We've got the message of it. And we're ambassadors. Okay, that's where we are in Jesus Christ. 2:14, Hebrews 2:14. Is this too fast? Okay. Now, I'm taking these because they're all a little bit different. Wesley, you read verse 14
yeah.
and 15. Hebrews 2.
2:14.
And 15.
For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, what is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage.
Okay. Now, we were delivered from the fear of death. We've been delivered from death and the fear of death. Where we are in Jesus Christ. Two things. From the death itself and from the fear of death. Just a comment that all phobias are subset of the real fear, which is death. They are all subsets. If somebody has a fear of heights, what's he afraid of? He's going to fall off the cliff, right? Which is going to happen to him at the bottom. There's death. If you're afraid of crowds, you're afraid you're going to be suffocated to death. All of these, they're driving in the traffic. Not the driving. It's the collision you're going to have. And another thing about fear of death, it's always future. All fears are future. If I'm afraid of something, it's what's going to happen tomorrow, not what's happening right now. And God has not given us the spirit of fear. In fact, he's delivered us from the fear of death. And he's not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Yes, this is where we are in Jesus Christ. Free from fear. I'm giving you some verse. I'm not giving you. Perfect love casts out fear. Right, that's where we are in Jesus Christ. Okay? Romans 5:21 and 22. Heather, would you read that? Read 22 also. Okay. Second mistake. 20 to 21. Okay. In Christ, grace reigns in righteousness. That's part of who we are in Jesus Christ. And the law was given to increase the trespass, but grace came and delivered us from that. And grace reigns in those who are in Jesus Christ. Okay. How about
Romans 4:24. But also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us to believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead.
Okay, verse 25.
He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification.
Okay. Now, again, righteousness was given credit to us who believe that Jesus rose from the dead. He's our Lord and he's dead. Okay. Romans 6:2. I wrote this as stream of consciousness, so it may not have a correct order. Heather, would you read 6:2?
By no means, he died to sin,
Okay. The question was, shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? And he said, by no means. And it's by no means because what happened? Look at the text.
We died to sin.
We died to sin. True or false?
True.
Well, I know he did. He just won't lie down. No, true or false? True. This is true. Then we thank God we died to sin. And when he asks, how can we live any longer, he doesn't want to know. It's a rhetorical question. The answer is in the question. How can we live in it any longer? It's a rhetorical question. If we're dead to it, we can't live in it. Okay? Also, 6:6. Now, I encourage you to read all of chapter 6, where I'm pulling these texts out. Right? Verse 2.
Six.
Not 6, verse 6. Okay? We know that our old self was crucified with him. When somebody's crucified, what happens to him? He dies. And his old man was crucified. Their old man was put to death. True or false?
True.
Okay. True, okay. Okay, we thank God.
Do we need to really be crucified on the cross?
What?
Do we need to be crucified on the cross?
No, he died for us. It says here, it says, we died with him, verse 8. If we died with Christ, when we received Jesus Christ's death on the cross, we died, he died, we died, same time. Okay? We died, and when he died, we died. He arose, we arose. Okay. Now, I want you to remember this. I want you to remember that the text says the old man was put to death. We're not playing cops and robbers. Mom, I shot him and he won't lie down. We're not playing games. When somebody's crucified, it's not pretend. It's really true. Okay, since we're on that subject, 6:18. Of course we.
You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness.
True or false?
True.
Okay. Okay. Now we've just removed all excuse for sin in a Christian's life. There is no reason for sin in a Christian's life. You've been set free from it. And what else have we become? We've been set free from sin. And what have we become? What have we become in that same sentence?
Slaves of righteousness.
Slaves of righteousness. Okay. Doesn't get paid. He doesn't have a choice either. It's not optional. You've got these back in Exodus, you've got those 10 options. 10 suggestions? No. Okay. Okay, 19. 6:19. Okay. At one time, before, you were increasing sin, increasing wickedness. But now, your slaves are righteous, leading to holiness.
What does it mean to present your members?
Your body. Your body. In other words, when we think of somebody being a saint or somebody that we think entirely spiritually, Romans 12:1-2, it says what? You present your what? Yeah, present what? Your bodies, right? A living sacrifice, holy. So not only are we supposed to be holy on the inside, we're supposed to be holy on the outside. Caution. Okay. Now, when it says mortify, that's just 3:5, or caution 3:5. It doesn't tell us to put them to a slow, torturous death. When you said put them to death, it means shoot them in the head. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yep. Luke 6:45 says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. I remember Bessie told Douglas, said to Douglas when Emmy was a boy, she said, Douglas, is that what's in your heart? He said, what do you mean, Mom? She said, it just came out of your mouth. You just told me what was in your heart. It came out of your mouth. Okay. Well, this is very good. Romans 8:1-2. Nathan, you read that. Romans.
Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of death.
Okay. Let's read that next one also.
For the law could not do, because it was flesh, God did. That means the dumb son of a likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned.
Okay. That the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. He says, the righteous requirements of the law did not make us godly, but having been made godly, they now can be met. The righteous requirements of the law can still be fully met in us. Who? Are walking by the Spirit, not by the flesh, but anyhow, verse, we've been set free from the law of sin and death. That was weakened. Okay. Now, all of these things are characteristics of the Christian just because it says so. It doesn't tell us to any of these things. Have you ever heard any preacher tell the congregation to crucify themselves? Maybe you haven't, but I have. In fact, I just got it from somebody on the internet yesterday. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I don't crucify myself. It's been done. It's done already. The old man's been crucified. The flesh has been crucified. We're going to, when we get to obedience, we're going to hit some of the same verses again. But it's really based upon the work in Jesus Christ in us is comprehensive. Okay. I quoted Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Okay. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of God who loved me and gave himself for me. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Okay, Galatians 5:24. It includes the things right before that, but start with verse 32. Kelly, would you read that? Galatians 5:22.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature and its passions and desires.
Okay, that's the first one. Verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified already. Past tense. The sinful nature with its passions and desires. Just because you're a Christian, at that instant, you crucified the sinful nature, crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Okay, Acts 3:19. Repent then and turn to God so that you may be wiped out. Okay? When a person repents and turns to God, the sins are wiped out. Yeah, I talk to people almost weekly, probably almost daily, I should say, with people say, but I've always done it this way. I was this way. I was born this way. Yes, but you're born again another way. you don't get to live on the way you were. But people look back at their history pre-Christ and apply it to themselves now. And use that as an excuse for their present. Sins of Martin. Look at Hebrews 9:28. In 9:44. Of course, all these chapters are good, not just the verses.
So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him.
Okay. I'm not sure what my point was on that one, but it's also true that he did this once for all. It doesn't have to be done again. And you see this all the way through Hebrews, that there's one sacrifice for sins forever. We don't have to sacrifice. There's a famous missionary named C.T. Studd, and he was in China and Central Africa. India, China, India, and Central Africa. He was a very dynamic man, but he had a famous saying that the mission quotes. Only problem with this one famous saying, it's wrong. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then there's no sacrifice too great for me to make for him. False. The sacrifice has been made. He did it all, and it sounds good, but it's a humanistic statement that we do this for him. How about 9:14? Hebrews 9:14.
Yeah. Okay. It says, how much more? If you get in the previous verses, yeah, about the blood of gold.
Or, right.
How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
Okay, that's the point. Is our consciences have been cleansed? Our consciences have been cleansed from dead works to serve the living God. Okay, there are a couple of very strong ones left here. Ephesians 1:19. This is wonderful. Of a prayer. Up in the verse 19. Verse 18. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Ephesians 1, verse 19, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. You got this? A power that's incomparable. Let's believe. and he tells us what it is. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in his right hand in the heavenly realms. Okay, that's sin. He has given those who believe the same mighty power that he used to raise Jesus from the dead. And he tells us here, and seated him at his right hand, Jesus at the right hand of the Father, in the heavenly realms, and he describes where that is, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also the one to come. Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, and he set above every principality and power. Okay? Now this is, but he said he's given us the same power. Like in chapter 2, verse 5. Verse 5. Made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions, and as by grace you've been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. He's seated in the right hand of God the Father, far above principalities and power, and he said it's made us sit together with him. True or false? And he doesn't say in the future. He doesn't say in the future. Yeah. So these are all things we have in Jesus Christ. Now, I recognize that most of your Christians already knew most of these texts. But I just wanted to see that we believe, see them and believe them, and we don't believe them. And so it's true or false. It was true, and thank God. Now, what effect will it have on us? The effect will be that suddenly we're living differently because we believe where we are in Jesus Christ. Now, I say I talk to Christians all the time, and it feels like I'm digging them out of the slough of despond. And they think that's the normal place to be. And the Bible says that, I'll look at one more verse, Colossians 1:27. That's two chapters later. You got, you're in Ephesians and this, Colossians 1:27. Philippians and then Colossians.
To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
True or false? Okay. And he's made known to all the people around us the glorious riches of Jesus Christ because of Christ in us. Well, we've used up our hour on where we are in Jesus Christ. The next hour is on how to maintain the joy that we had when we first became Christians. Now, it's going to be based on this, and next week we'll talk about obedience, but not doing obedience, but being obedient. Both hours next week. First hour, obedience by being, and second hour, obedience by doing. Now, let's say this, the Christian can only do two things any 24-hour day. Any 24-hour, you can obey God or disobey God. Those are your only two choices. You say, what about the neutral times? There aren't any. Well, what about when I'm sleeping? Well, I should be or shouldn't be. Okay? So you're either obeying God or you're disobeying God. Now, if you're obeying God, you're living like we talked about today. If you're disobeying God, then you immediately get disciplined and confess your sins. So your day should be made of obeying or confessing. That's all you have to do any given day. Obey God or confess that you disobeyed him. That makes it simple. Well, let's thank God and take a break. And the bathroom's in there. And if anybody wants a Pepsi Cola or a glass of water, we can provide either Pepsi Cola or water. So let's thank God.